Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to another episode of the Royal Bluettes. I guess I can call it family ministry. Also, where we talk about anything and everything and not ashamed of what we've been through and what we talk about to try to get somebody else to get through. But first of all, I want to thank God for his grace and mercy. I want to thank Elder Oliver for this platform. That he gives to anybody that wants to speak out good things, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, and his wife, Lady Kay. They are faithful servants to the Lord, and they are sharing what God has gave them in their life with others as this platform right here and other things that they do in their life. And thank you, sir, for always being available. Before we go further, I want to thank our Father God for the grace again that he gives us and waking us up every morning. Me and my family have not heard any bad news today about anybody in our family that didn't wake up, and that's the grace of God, the mercy of God. I want to thank God for those who are listening, that God chose to wake you up also and fight all the battles while we slept to protect us in having a waking day. I want to thank God for carrying us thus far through this day up until this very hour. Because, you know, at any minute or time of the day, things can happen that could change your life or end your life. And, God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for giving me and my family the ability to not only help ourselves but to help others in times of need. And this grace and mercy comes from nobody but you. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you. Amen. So, I got a subject today. Amen. I got a subject today in our family text. What do you call it? Text group or text something? We got a family.
Group chat.
Group chat. Yeah, they got a group. We got a group chat. And they own it all day long. So, this subject, I'm not going to name just yet. Till I read this verse out of the King James Bible in Mark, I think it's Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And when I read this, and then when I read the subject for tonight, it should go together because it was a question asked. As the subject is a question, actually. So Mark 16 and 15, and he said unto them, go ye therefore. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, here's the subject. How could we or how can we leave this world Let me read this. Hold on. Okay, here we go. How can we or how could we leave this world better than how we found it? How can we or how could we leave this world better than how we found it? So that should go right in with that Bible verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think that is that when you come to Christ and you believe in his name and you are saved from the things that are coming, that's all that means, saved from the things that are coming. If we would use this verse and tell others about Christ, I believe we can leave those who hear us in a better place. I'll leave this world in a better way than the way we found it, by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. So I don't know how this is going to go. We don't script anything. We freelance or we free talk. And it's just me and my family. And I appreciate and love each and every one of them for where they have grown, where they are in their life, and what they're trying to do in their life that's very positive. So I want to ask my wife if she has anything she want to say at this point.
There you go. You want me to start first? Then y'all gonna, then you're going to complain about me talking too much. And I want to start off by saying, topic. I haven't always been saved. To tell you the truth, I wasn't raised up praying, going. We went to church with Mother Williams lived in the back of us. We used to go there just to eat and hang out. So we didn't learn anything. We just went to hang out. And Mother Bridges, before we moved over there, Mother Bridges church, we sung songs, hung out, same thing. Never really was taught or brought up in the Word of God. We just went to church for the fellowship and just to hang out. But we were taught by an awesome woman of God now, Mother Ruth Jones. And she taught us we should always leave a place, not teaching us by words. She showed us we should always leave a place better than how we see a nasty, or we see something on the floor, or we see something wrong. She didn't tell us maybe God showed you that so you could clean it up. She didn't tell us that. She just did it. So the topic, it just took me back to my childhood on how, I'm going to say my mom was a non-believer. She believed, she was raised in a Catholic church. She went to school in the Catholic church. She didn't teach us Bible scriptures or none of that. Or my dad was a Jehovah's Witness, which we went a couple of times with him. But it was never displayed. Christ wasn't displayed in our home. But we were taught morals and structure, and we were taught stuff that's not being taught in the church to believers. How to love, how to treat others. All this stuff I learned as a non-believer. Doing for the community, serving the community, serving others. All this was taught as a non-believer. And I'm so grateful that I was raised the way I was raised. Because once I came into Christ, it so confused me. The church confused me. My mom said I was around 27, right around 27, 30 years old. My mom, you know, told me that that's when I got saved. I don't remember. But when I asked her some years ago, that's what she told me. But just going back on my childhood and the way my mom taught us, even how I teach my kids, when we go, as a matter of fact, when we went to the hotel this past week, the weekend before last, we planned the hotel before we left. When we got in there, you know, it wasn't as clean as I wanted it to be. I planned it, and it was cleaner than it, we left it cleaner than it was. When we go places and go to different people's homes and go to different churches or go wherever we go, we should leave it better than how we came into it. If we go into, you know, it doesn't matter. We should leave this world empty. We should have exhausted everything that in us to show the world how we as Christians, I'm talking about to the Christians right now, because I didn't learn this at a church. I didn't learn values and morals at church. I learned it at, 937 and a half East 120th Street and on 140th Street of Avalon in South Central Los Angeles. I learned all this there. So the question was, what was it? How could we leave this world better than we found it? We can leave this world better by serving, by doing. It's not just enough to be, our bishop always talk about our families. You know, we should be great at home. I don't even want to be great nowhere. I just want to be a servant. There's nothing wrong with being great at home. I'm not saying that it's wrong by being great, but I'm just saying we should want more. Now that me and our kids are grown, we've done all that. That was displayed around, the last church, the church that we're in now, that's been displayed through all the families that I've seen, the Tolberts, the Belchers, the Haymans, everybody, it was a tight-knit family. Those were families. And they displayed that. They took care of their families. They still taking care of their families. But even before he started preaching that, we were taking care of our families. But I'm just saying, it should be more. It should be more. We should be serving. We should be doing more, not as a church, not as a family, but individually. If you go into the store, into a grocery store, you see something on the floor, what's wrong with picking it up? Putting it back. What's wrong with it? If you see a cart getting ready to hit somebody's car, rolling up, what's wrong with you stopping the cart and pushing it back where it belongs? Nothing. It's not going to hurt nothing. It ain't going to hurt nobody. What's wrong with leaving a healthy tip? Like, me and my clients was out one time, and it was really slow in the restaurant. And the young lady was so attentive to my table and my clients. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I felt a strong pull, like bless her with a $50 bill. What's wrong with tipping? Oh, the devil is a lie. That's the first thing we say. Oh, I'm not giving her no 50. She didn't do all that. Regardless, she made sure your tea was filled. We make all kind of excuses why we can't do or serve or give or do for others. We should leave this world empty from services, whatever. Render whatever you have. If you don't have no money, time. Time. This is the time to do more. The Jehovah Witnesses are locked in right now. They've been locked in since the coronavirus. I just saw some out last week. We should be ministering. I'm not saying we, me and my family, we are. I'm talking about we as believers. The harvest is so it's they're out there. People are hungry, not just physically, mentally drained. It's so many kids committing suicide. I'm talking about young kids. Depression is running rapid in these schools, in the homes, because they have to deal with the reality of where they are. And the reality, the coronavirus put a lot of people in reality where they are in their life. And we should be empty. We should leave this world empty. How should we do? I mean, anybody else? I'm sorry.
So spiritually or naturally, you're saying that we should leave an impression, a good impression on people at the moment that we're with them until we're out of their space. And a good impression can have them to have positive thoughts. Is that what you're saying?
It would. A lady told me today, oh, I just had on some gold sandals. I took my tennis shoes off. My feet were sweating. I put some sandals on. And I was, and she just walked up to me. Oh, I just have to walk up to you and tell you how nice these sandals are. See, there's nothing special about the sandals. You, ma'am. And I was, it was in the busiest time of my day when she said it. And I was thinking about a whole bunch of stuff that the rest of my day, what I have to do. And that just took my mind off of what, just a compliment. What's wrong with compliment? And that was another sister. And that's another thing I teach my kids. My mom told us. We will compliment somebody in a heartbeat. You don't get too many sisters complimenting sisters. Somebody have them, compliment them. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know. You might, they could have been thinking about killing themselves. But because you took the time out to say how nice they look. But we see somebody cute, oh, who she thinks she is. She probably just dressed up that day just to go jump off a bridge. We never know. We never know.
So where you at in your life now, how do you think, and you pretty much know the answer, how do you think the impression you left on your family on how you was and your friends and how you was and how they speak of you now, based on how can you leave things in a better way or this world in a better way?
Well, well, I'm going to say this. I was the one who introduced a lot of people to alcohol. And I was the first one to stop drinking. And when people see me now, you know, I can be around anybody. I can be around all my family. You know, some of them still drink. And it's like, well, you can just have a little bit.
So you're saying right now you can still be around alcohol in that atmosphere and be okay,
yes.
Right?
Yes, most definitely. When I go back home, we stay up all night playing spades. And I can be sitting right there with them. Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And the impression, okay, so let me go back. So with that being said, when when I got saved in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I was still hanging out. We were drinking every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The parties was at our house. You know that. The parties was at our house Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, and we was drinking that whole time. We probably didn't even sleep at all. Maybe a couple of hours and got up running. And if it yard sale signs, I didn't get no sleep. If it was a community yard sale, I would just go in the bathroom, change my clothes, and just go to the yard sale. But to answer your question, I was drinking, I think, moonshine at the time. And one of my girlfriends was a big-time drug dealer. She would come over there and, you know, sell her little weed or whatever she had. She would come over there. We would hang out. And we start, I met Pastor McLaurin. I was getting ready to have a fight. And right before, I think like a week prior to that, he asked me to come to his church. And I'm like, I work on Sundays. I don't have time to, you know, go to your church. He said, whenever you have time, just come, whatever. So God is so strategic. So I made that commitment that I would come if I had time. I got fired the following week. Getting ready to beat up this lady finally. So the following week it was our anniversary.
Let me interject. You got fired at a time where we really needed that money because the army was messing up my money every month.
Right. But check this out. You go to your question about the impression that I left on where I came from. Now, mind you, we were drinking Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Met Apostle Gary B. McLaurin out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Met him the week prior. Okay, mm-hmm. Got fired. We went to our anniversary. You remember, we got tore up that night, and I told you I wanted to go to church the following day. We were downtown, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
We got tore up.
Right. I wanted you to drop me off at the church. You dropped me off at the church. To make a long story short, I couldn't stop going to that church. Even though we was getting towed up, Apostle Gary B. McLaurin said, I know you ain't getting towed up by yourself. Bring some of your friends. We took Harmon. Come to find out that was one of my cousins. Harmon, his wife, joined the church. The dope dealer. She started going to the church. She was getting ready to get sentenced for drug dealing. And when she started going to the church, Apostle Gary B. McLaurin prophesied over her and told her if she gave her life to Christ, she wasn't going to serve all of that time. And because I brought her to the church, when we was getting towed up, I told her to come to the church. Well, all of us worked together, first of all. All of us worked together, but when she found out I was going, she ended up going. She ended up going to the church. Do you know I was 27, around 27, 30 years old at that time. She's still at that church. We're talking about impression on people. Okay? And when I say God is so strategic, we have to make an impression on people, not just on people, everywhere we go. You didn't finish reading that chapter. I mean, if you go down to 18, wait, hold on. It talks about the signs and wonders shall follow you. What signs and wonders? What should follow? Hold on, let me see. Where were you at, Mark? Where were you at, Ben? Mark 16. Okay, here we go. Hold on. If you go down to 16, he that believeth and he is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs? What signs is he talking about? But I'm just saying, once you come into... I didn't know Christ, okay? I didn't know Christ. And making an impression. The impression should get bigger and stronger when you come into Christ. God didn't give you the boldness. He gave me boldness, but when you get come to Christ, you get Holy Ghost boldness. Okay? He didn't just give you boldness just to be bold and do what you want to do in this world. Okay? We have to use this mouth. My big mouth, if I can use my mouth for the world, why can't I use it for Christ? I was big and bad. Y'all already know. You know, and my siblings, I was big and bad enough to dare me to do it. They dared me to ask my mama about stuff or dare me to do stuff, and my mom found out that I did it. And why can't I be that bold in Christ or take a dare or trust, put my trust in Christ? All the dares. Never turn down a dare. Never turn. Why can't I dare anybody to just try Christ? Believe me, it makes a difference. All these good morals and good conduct and doing the right thing and serving the community, they're all good deeds. They are. I was raised up doing good deeds. I was raised up doing loving everybody. We couldn't just have on all blue. We couldn't have on all red. We was friends with Bloods and Crips. We stayed straight in the middle of all of it. When I tell you God is good, God is. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, that's good. That's good. That's good. So, what you have now or what people of God have now, regardless of how they grew up, regardless of the sins that they committed, when you accept Jesus Christ in your life, and what you have now, I want to read this scripture, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10, where it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So what we know now, being on God's side, being on Christ's side, we can have confidence that we can boldly speak on the word of God to uphold those and leave an impression that God will always be with you no matter what. And so a lot of people that we know, a lot of people in the world, a lot of people listening right now that may feel that things are not right, that they're getting opposition from those they are talking to. So we have to be careful and remember that God is always with us in our walk now because why? We believe in the word of God. So you are speaking real about what you've been through. We talked about the impressions you left and then how the impressions are now that you have on your family and people that you know. Did you want to chime in on anything?
My background is loud right now. Just give me 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
Okay, all right.
You can still talk. Go ahead and talk. Just, you have anything to say? You or Asha? Hello? No?
Hold on. Give me 5 minutes. The background is loud. It's a vacuum. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, sweetie. So let me read this other scripture. And I've read this before in one of our episodes in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And see, as a Christian, you got to believe your ending. that when Jesus breaks that sky, and then we are all judged in front of God, when the books are open, we got to believe that we are saved from any issues. And we got to believe that God has thrown all of our sins into the sea where no man can find. Right? So we ought to have boldness now to come before God with our natural human issues and then go boldly before people and preach the gospel or give them a good word or make a good expression on their life that you can do, that you can be, that you are, and that you can conquer the circumstances that may be hindering your life at this moment. So this was a good subject. And it speaks to where you are now and how can you leave this world in a better place? How can you leave people in a better state of mind? How can you leave even our families, cousins included, in a better way? How can you do that? By how you live your life now, based on what they know and how you work and what you're doing now. And I thank God that I can sustain by his strength from the things I used to do, because we did used to party all weekend. We had some of the craziest people in our house that did no hurt, harm, or danger to us, but we had homosexuals, we had I'll leave that right there. We had that at the house. And how we lived at that time was crazy. It was destroyable to any life. But I thank God for where we are now and that we show love even to those situations and lives of others that we didn't believe in, but we still congregated to drink, play spades and dominoes and all that. So I can think back of many things that I would not say, but I would think now of where I'm at and the impressions that I'm leaving on my wife or my kids or leaving to others, that you can overcome anything by the strength of Christ. Anything. Not just some things, but anything in Christ who strengthens us to preach his word, teach his word, or pass his word on. So the impression that we should leave on this world is that God is good. Look where he brought me from. And look where I'm at now. Not boasting or bragging. The only thing I boast in is the word of God and where we at right now. And I thank God for sustaining us when we didn't know. I thank God for keeping us in the way we was doing wrong. And I knew and I know that God had a blessing for us as I'm speaking now and know about the word of God, that he kept us for this day. Amen.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned homosexuals. We had homosexuals, murderers, thieves. We had everybody in our house. But I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't know if you remember this or not. Before we knew, one of my best friends was gay. This was before, I had a lot of male friends that come over to the house, and this was before we knew he was gay. It was like maybe about, he was the only one at time that was gay who came to the house, but I had a lot of male, I worked with a lot of males, and they used to come over to the house. And I remember the night, one night, he felt so comfortable with us. Some music came on and he just started voguing, just throwing his arms up and twisting and twirling. And my husband said, get that faggot out my house right now. And he ended up leaving and he called and asked, can he come back to the house? Now, even though my husband called him a faggot and told him to get out the house, don't bring that faggot back in my house, the love that we showed him, he called back and asked, can he come back? And my husband said,
Yeah, if that faggot come back in my house, I'm gonna tell you right now. He better, you know, he made us get some paper plates, cups, forks, and everything disposable. Just put it like that. He made us get everything disposable. And as soon as he walked in the door, my oldest daughter, she had been about 4 or 5 at the time. No, she was about 6 or 7 at the time. She said, "Hey, Uncle Percy, my daddy said you have to eat off a spoon, plastic fork and spoon."
Uh-oh,
I was so embarrassed. But the love, the point, yes, you did do that. The love that we showed him, it wasn't, even though we talked, and this is how, if I have something to say about somebody, I say it to their face. And I'll let them know, whatever. But I'll let them know that those are the stipulations. We have to use, you know, plastic forks and stuff, you know, from now on. He was like, "That's fine." But the love that we showed him, he was willing to accept whatever to come back. We were just close. The love, and I didn't even know Christ. I wasn't even saved at this time. Still show love to everybody, regardless of who they are. Except the liars, I knew was a liar. I accept a lie. The person is a liar, expect them to lie. But you don't have to cut them off. Just know that they're a liar. You can't believe nothing that they say. He was a homosexual. I didn't know then to pray for him or, you know, whatever. But we still showed them love, regardless of the situations or who they were or what circumstances. It doesn't matter. We was around rich, poor, thieves, murder. It don't matter. Still show love to people. Okay, well, love and kindness have I drawn thee. The only way you're going to draw people to you is that you show them what you have. They probably don't know how. My mom showed us. She taught us through action. She didn't tell us a lot. Matter of fact, she didn't never tell us she loved us when we were little, growing up. And we didn't even know you were supposed to. Until we got older and started being around other families, say they love you. What? And I explained that to my sister-in-law one time. You know, how you expect my brother to tell you that he loves you? My mom didn't tell us that. But guess what? She showed us. Her love was on display. And we didn't know that. I'm still not affectionate. My husband is a color. I'm not. I still don't like all of that mushy. I love hugs. But all that, just hold me too long, it's too long. But we have to continue to just show love. People can't give you what they don't have. A lot of people weren't shown. We have to show people how to, I've been on this scene right now for I don't know how many, be the change you want to see. You be the change that you want to see. And stop blaming people for who they are. Oh, she's just a liar. Okay. Yeah, she is a liar. He is a liar. He is a cheat. Okay, now what? You show them how to love. You show them how it's supposed to be done. Because God showed you that. It was an incident that happened a few years ago. You know, and my daughter had to find out. I said, God didn't give that. God showed you that to show you who that person was and how they are. I've been through it. God had to show you that. Now that you know, now what you going to do with it? Keep loving people where they are. It don't matter. So what? They talked about Jesus Christ. He kept showing love for where they are. We have to.
Amen. So back in that time when we were entertaining people at the house, You know, I'm going to say this. So it was one house we had while I was in the Army. We're in the den. The house had a den.
Oh, them E&J bottles.
I had E&J bottles lined around the wall of the whole den.
Three times.
So I had one. That line went three times all the way around the whole den of E&J bottles. I'm talking about half a gallon E&J bottles. That's how much I was drinking. Me and her cousin Harmon, every day. And we also went to church every Sunday. So I don't want anybody to think that what you're doing, you can't be saved from. As long as God keep waking you up every morning, there's a mission for you that he knows you need to do. And he wakes you up to do it. And there have been many nights at that time where I was passed out. Her cousin Harmony was passed out. And we were best friends. And where we came from that period, I know it was nothing but God that kept us going, me going, to get to a present state where I'm at now. So There's some stories of that time. A lot of them I don't want to speak about. But I will tell you what I just told you. Drinking, congregating with sinners and all that, and we still went to church on Sunday. I don't have it in my heart to reject anybody that have done something and come to church on Sunday. I do not. Because it can change your world. And that's what we're speaking about right now. What can we do to leave an impression on somebody or a good impression on the world? Right? So it was, when I think about those times, it was crazy. It was very, very crazy. But I thank my God, Lord and Savior right now, where me and my family are now and how we was. I don't want to say a whole lot about that time. I said enough about it because my middle daughter is listening right now. I don't want her to think that she can dive in at the state of her life where she's at now, knowing Christ, and come out, because we never know if we're going to come out. We never know if we're going to do something or we're going to sin and we're just going to come out of it. We don't know that. But if you get caught up in your sin, that's where God will meet you at when you open up them books and talk about how you lived your life. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Even when we left Fort Bragg, North Carolina, when we left Fort Gordon, Georgia, and I moved my family here to Atlanta, I was still drinking. And my Auntie Katie, we would go over to her house. I would have a bottle of Hennessy in my car with cups and ice, traveling like I was at a picnic. Wherever I went at that time, I would take a shot. And Katie, my Auntie Katie, knows that. She didn't put me down. She didn't disrupt me. It's that she almost knew, okay, he's going to be all right, because that's my sister boy. That's my sister son. And for the grace of God, by the grace of God, I'm good. By the grace of God, he kept me in those days. By the grace of God, he's got me where I'm at now. So the impressions I try to leave right now is that God is good. God is full of grace. God is full of mercy. And if he sustains you every morning to wake you up, he can put you in your right mind. And you can tell others how you was, how you survived, and where you at now in your life, that it should inspire them. We can't inspire them, but the word that we speak to them through God can inspire them and draw them. See? So we shouldn't get upset when we try to tell somebody positive things, what you could be doing, what you could be doing now versus what you're doing now. Give them a good word of God. and that God used his strength, his grace and mercy to speak to them to change their lives. And I think we all get complicated on, you know, well, we did this for them, we did that for them, and they still like they are. Don't worry about that. If you speak positivity into somebody's life, even if you have a testimony of where you was and where you are now, let God work on them to change them. So I just thank the grace and mercy of God in my life right now. I promise you I do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to say this. I didn't know better at the time. So my kids know better. So they're gonna be they're on a higher standard than we were because they grew up in the church with the word. So they can be held accountable for what they if they choose to do whatever. But I'm gonna say this to anybody that's listening: if you can do it on your own, you don't need God. Okay. Apostle Gary B. McLaurin told me, I know you're not drinking and partying by yourself. Bring them on. He didn't judge me. He didn't tell me how. I know I was drinking moonshine till 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I know by the time I made it there, I was still smelling like moonshine. I know he smelled it. But he never once condemned me. He never told me what I shouldn't be doing. He never talked about me. He just told me, bring them all. Bring out everybody. Okay? And one thing about back then, once I started going to church, I don't can't even tell you when I stopped. I can't even tell you when I stopped. Don't know. But I can tell you this. It took God. Could do it on my own. I wouldn't have, you don't need them. But if you wait to get yourself together to go, you ain't gonna never go. Oh, I ain't ready. I'm not ready to go to church. Why aren't you ready to go? And hear if it's gonna help your situation. Why not hear the word? Just open up. You didn't got to go to church. Just open up your Bible. Turn to a TV preacher. Learn the word for yourself. Matter of fact, don't even turn on the TV. Don't even go to church. Open up your Bible.
Reading. Hold on, baby. Hold on. It's good to go to church first.
It is good to go to church.
For the assembly of the other saints that can encourage you by their testimony to keep you going.
It is. It, you know what? You're so correct. You do have some that, well, I don't need to go to church. If you don't need to, you need to open up your word. Open up your word. Everything that you're going through is in there. Everything. Whatever you're going through, Google it. Whatever you're going through, Google it, and I bet you it's in that word. If I could have changed my situation, I didn't even know I was in a situation because you get so used to, and that's what's so unique about sin. So you're so comfortable in it, you don't even know it's sin. You don't even know that your life is in danger. We were driving cars on highways not knowing how we got to where we are. Or when we finished driving, put it like that. From point A to point B. And I woke up in my husband's parking lot soaking wet with his sister. She then went upstairs, left me in the car. I didn't know Christ. Okay, I didn't know him. But when God has his hands on you, I don't care what you do. He going to get you. And I thank God he didn't have to drag me. He drew me with love and kindness through Apostle Gary B. McLaurin. He drew me with that love, that agape love. He wasn't looking for nothing back.
He wasn't looking. He didn't ask for no money. He didn't ask for no honey. He didn't ask for nothing. He just told me to come and bring all my whoever I'm drinking with. And that's all he asked. I tell you, when you find people like that, hold on to them tight. Because I'm telling you, you're going to need them one day. Hold on to them tight. Because you don't meet people that really, really love like that. You really don't. You don't. A lot of people don't have that genuine love. I wasn't taught. I didn't know nothing about Christ. But the love, God knows. He knew my heart from when he put it there. He knows it. I don't know it. He know it. But once you find somebody with a pure heart, okay, and don't have no hidden agendas and no hidden motives and, you know, no, sweetie, Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. And when I tell you, he has been putting people in my life that loves him just as much as I do. To be done. How can we leave this, we should leave this earth empty with nothing. How can God fill you up and you full of yourself? He can't fill. There ain't no room. There's no room. Make room for Christ.
Amen. Amen. I remember that night you came back all wet and stuff, and my sister Pookie came upstairs first. She was tore up. I said, oh, Lord, where my girl at? Because we wasn't married at the time. Where my girl at? And then you came up and went in the bathroom and locked the door where I couldn't get to you. And I was going to hurt you. Huh?
No, I was still in the car. You came down there and got me.
Yeah,
you came
in the house and locked yourself in the bathroom where I couldn't get to you.
That's what I did when I used to get towed up. I locked myself in somewhere. Can't nobody say that's another segment, okay, a part of my life.
Then,
what?
Don't say nothing else then. So I want to read the scripture right quick on where we at now based on what we talked about and where we were. So Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world as we were, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know that now. Back then, we was ignorant of that, but God still kept us in our ignorance and the things that we were doing. So I remember many nights, I ain't going to say many, but I remember a few nights where you and my sister did go out and come back, tow up. That was the world
many.
We was living.
It was many. That was my road dog.
I was just trying to give you the comfort of not that many.
No,
but,
it was many. You ain't got to lie to me.
I'm not lying, baby. I'm just not expounding all. No, we need to hush now. I'm just not expounding on all of it.
Oh, okay.
That's all. Yeah. Okay. I used to come back to her, and I used to always try to get with her, and she would lock herself in the bathroom every time. Every time.
Uh-huh.
So,
it wasn't for you to get at that time.
Well, we know that now. We know that now. Because we probably wouldn't be together married 30-some years now.
Okay.
So,
you would have took advantage of me.
Oh, I took huge. You know, but see how God protected you then.
Oh, yeah. He was protecting me all my life.
And we weren't married. How God protected you then.
Mm-hmm.
But how God has released you to me now. See?
Anyway, here you go.
How God has released you to me now. When you said, you was mine. Before you said
it was Romans,
you was God. Hold on. Before you said that you was God and you was God's, God was your husband at the time and you didn't know it. You see, he released you to me that we can become one, that we can leave our mother and father and become one. See?
Okay.
So I thank God for restraining me from busting the door down and protecting you at the same time.
It was Romans what?
Huh?
Romans what?
Oh, let's see. Romans
12:2
So the thing was, we was conformed to the world at that time. We was doing everything we wanted to do. We was doing everything the world expected us to do, and we was trying to be friends with everybody at that time. And Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We know that now. See?
Okay, keep reading.
So God,
keep reading it,
huh?
Keep reading. Read six. Read three. Can you read three?
I don't have it. It's not in my Bible.
Through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be high-minded. Okay, we can't think of ourselves higher than, you know, than we ought to. Be sober-minded. A lot of folks drunk on themselves. Okay? And my measure of faith is not the same measure as yours. Everybody have their own measure. So don't base your faith on my measure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't step out there and try to do something that I said I was going to do, but you don't have the measure. You're going to fail.
Mm.
Because God didn't give you that measure. So, yeah.
So let's read this last verse. Go ahead, babe.
No, go ahead.
So this last verse, based on those who are listening and have come out of those situations and where God has you now, believing in the word of God, that at any day you can return to a past life. At any day you can return to past sins. But if you believe in the word of God, I want to read Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. So when we think about those things we used to do and how we may have enjoyed it at that time, we can, and if you're in the word of God now, stay in your word now, I want to say. Stay in your word so you can be strengthened. So Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Anytime you want to return to a past situation, a past sin, to continue it, anytime you want to return or you feel pulled or urged to go back to how you were, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So the word of God can keep you where you at. The word of God can keep you where he has you at. Right? So when thoughts come to your mind that you want to return or you feel that you was happy in doing what you was doing, stay in the word of God. Why? So you can leave an impression on those who may have gave you that thought, that you can leave an impression on those who may have talked about that, that you can leave an impression on those who are at that level where you were. So how can we leave this world a better place? For how we live our life now. Knowing they know where we was at. And knowing that they see us in our everyday walk, that we go through things and we come out of things, believing in the word of God. God will never leave you or forsake you. All that you give him, he will protect. All that you give him, he will keep. Your life is sustained in God. So I could be saying all of this right now, and then you can hear tomorrow where Elder Blewett died. Okay, but I died on a good note. I didn't die doing what I was doing. I died because I fulfilled my walk. I fulfilled my work. I died because I did what God asked me to do. That's the state of mind you have to be in, that you have to get to, that I'm satisfied. And we don't know that between death and then where you end up if you have a thought. But if that was so, I would say, thank you, Lord. I'm good. I appreciate you keeping me when I was doing those things. I appreciate you keeping me when the statutory limits don't run out on some things I did. If there was a witness to this day of some of the things I did growing up in South Central L.A., it can go to court right now. But all who knows about it is dead right now. So think about your life. Think about where you've been. Think about where you are. And thank God that he has kept you to this very moment. Get to a place in your life that if you die now or tomorrow, that you're satisfied that you did all you could do. And all you could do should have left an impression on the world, on somebody, even if it's just one person that changed their life. The angels in heaven are clapping for you. All right? Nani, are you good? Do you have anything you want to put in? Do you still have noise in the
background?
Yeah,
I want to read this. Let me read this right quick. I want to go up to four. 4:4-9, I believe. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which have brought to learning, that both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the Lord of peace shall be with you. That is Philippians 4:4-9.
That's good. That's good. That is so good. That just about wraps us up for tonight. That's good. So, Nani, you got anything you want to say, or do you still have a noisy background?
No, I'm in a car now. I just wanted to say, basically, y'all really just summed it up. Leaving the earth different by our actions and what we display and spreading love and just being an example to others that they can, you know, just motivation, inspiration. You can get through. You can persevere. You can be happy. You can have joy. You can have healthy love in life. You know what I mean? Just that's how we can leave this earth different, is by spreading love and representing Christ.
Amen. That was my middle daughter, Vanessa, who we call Nani, or who I call Nani, my Nani. Does Aja have anything to say?
Yes. I want to say that you can leave this earth
a better place by doing what God placed you on this earth to do, fulfilling your purpose. Because when you fulfill your purpose, you're touching people. When you touch them people, they're going to fulfill their purpose, and you just keep going in a repeated cycle. So fulfill your purpose, find your gift.
That's good,
amen,
for you. So that was the voice of my youngest daughter, Aja. Amen. Good. I'm proud of you for showing us pictures and video of you taking your daughter to school to check in. That I used to do that with y'all, and now here you are doing it. And I'm a blessed man, an older man now, that can see the next generation coming about. And I appreciate y'all so much for being where you are, how you stand, and what you do in life. So you're not scared of me as far as what would Daddy think now, as you were when you were younger. But you're scared now is what would God think of you and what you do now. And that's so much I appreciate. I really appreciate it. So that being said, we are done tonight with the Royal Bluettes radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, sponsored or owned by Elder Oliver and his wife, Lady Kay. And this platform has been beautiful. It's been open. And it's for anybody that has a positive word for mankind. Lord, I thank you for my family. Lord, I thank you for letting me be in at this age, seeing my family develop and being who they are. I thank you for my wife, who has been my partner, that you have given me, not as Adam gave a rib, but as I gave my life to my wife. I thank you for the stability, knowing that the devil can do nothing to us. He can attack, but he can't change how we think. Now, thank you, Father God, for sustaining those who are listening right now to this very moment, and that we have given something about our true selves, that how we were and how we are, that they can help themselves through Jesus Christ get to where they need to be or where they are and sustain them because they got through. Father God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for just being available. Thank you for the tree that was in the midst of Eden, that good and evil was known by man, but that the good was known about you. I thank you, Father God, that we could have made many choices, and the choices made over 2,000 years ago, that Eve took that fruit, gave it to her husband, and they sinned. But you already had in mind to send a Savior. You already had in mind to save mankind. You already had in mind to bring us back to you. And those of us who have chosen your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, are with you now to not be scared, to not fear the outcome, the last outcome of life, that we can stand before you and say, I believe, right? So those who are listening that have not gave their life to Christ, please do so at this time and believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Believe in his name. Believe in that he died and he rose from the grave, and that he is accepted of God and given all authority to save you and keep you as he sits on the right hand of God to keep you going when God would have us all gone. But he speaks to his Father and say, Victor Bluett is all right. Nani is all right. Ricky is all right. Aja is all right. That those in the world that he speaks of in your ear, that he still protects our lives at this moment. But, oh my God. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the broadcast. I thank you for the Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for Elder Oliver and the platform that you have given him. I thank you that those of us who can come on and speak positivity about the life that we live right now versus where we were living. I thank you, God, for Elder Oliver, and keep blessing him and open up even a more broader platform for him that others may get on 7 days a week. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. All right, so that's what we had tonight. We might have something next Thursday if the Lord would have us to live until that time. And I'm asking my family now in front of everybody, get a subject together now for next Thursday for the people of God. All right. Good night.